Here on the line to talk to us is Yanto Browning, an associate lecturer in music and sound at the Queensland University of Technology. Yanto, good morning.
Hey, how you going? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks so much for joining us. To start off with, could you tell us, I guess, for a little bit of context and history, exactly how big a leap was the MP3 initially when it came to sound technology?
Well, some people would say it's a leap and other people would say it was a kind of regression. But it was a way that you could get large file sizes really small. So as far as digitally transmitting audio goes, it was a massive leap. Suddenly you could use 1/12 of the bandwidth to get a file from one place to the other. And that was really useful in sports broadcasting and obviously with music applications.
And so I guess for the music industry as a whole, how did the MP3 impact this?
Well, the music industry didn't seem to want to know much about it to begin with. All of the people in the development team were going to the industry going, we have this technology and we can use it to kind of put music on the internet as a marketplace. And they were on the boom time of CDs, so they just kind of continually shut the door. And it was actually the lack of commercial interest, I think, that led the development team to release the way to encode and decode MP3 files. So anybody with a CD player in their computer could basically rip a CD and put it up on the internet as an MP3. And that led to the proliferation of all the MP3s and wearers and peer-to-peer sites. And after that, the music industry suddenly got interested because their entire catalogue was available for free.
Yeah, I can see that being a bit of an issue for them. But I suppose there was, well, now looking forward to the present day, technology companies like Technicolor are ending their licensing support for MP3s. Why now?
Because the patents are running out. Their patents, most of them have expired. A lot of them are expiring this year. And they just seem to think that there's not a lot of money left in furthering, you know, support and development of the codec. And I mean, it's very old. Like, we're talking early days. MPEG 1 Audio Layer 3 was the MP3. So it was one of the first kind of standards of compressed digital audio files. AAC files are what most people, if you have anything on an iPhone or a device like that, they'll be using a different codec called AAC, which they still have under license. But the MP3 will keep going. It just means that anyone can use the license for free now.
And so I guess, does that mean that, I don't know, like, what does that mean for, I guess, consumers and just people on the internet, perhaps?
Well, I don't know the exact numbers, but I think that there's still an awful lot of, you were saying radio programs earlier before, I think that a lot of podcasts still go out as MP3s, and most devices are capable, if you can play back any compressed file like an AAC file or the like, it'll also still work with MP3s. So, I mean, I don't think it's going to change very much. The stuff that still exists will be out there. You can still listen to your favorite podcast. If you've got a bunch of MP3s, I doubt the next generation of iTunes isn't going to be able to play them back suddenly. I think it's just an indication that the team behind it have realised that there's no more money to be milked from the format, and they might as well let it go into the public domain.
Well, it's definitely good to know that we'll still be able to listen to all our music and podcasts. Yanto, thank you so much for joining us on the show this morning.
No, not at all. Thank you.